Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Having a great day, bro.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
I am doing awesome because I am not appointed to wrath.
Oh, well, praise God. Don't you dare start burying my leads over there, Tony. But we are really, really excited because... Well, I guess a little more than 24 hours from now, you guys hopefully will be partaking with us in the launch party for our Good Fight Radio Network. Guys, this is so exciting for us, and we had to give that hard date to make sure Tony got it all done.
Right. No pressure.
No, but really, really exciting. We're really excited to have you guys a part of it. Please, guys, we're going to have some Q&A time. We're doing two live shows. Tony's actually going to play some music. I didn't mention that on the last two shows, but Tony and Doug Stapleton, two of the main guys with us, with Joe and myself, that have been putting together, that have been pressing on. They've probably done more footwork than anybody else concerning this. They're also going to play some music for you guys. You know, they're both, you know, worship leaders at heart, and they've also not only wanted to get worship out, but wanting to get out there and share this truth with people. So it's been awesome, and I would love to have you guys with us. Guys, we want to have multiple questions sent in that are theological, of the apologetic nature or theological nature, concerning anything you would like biblically, okay? And if you can keep that to less than 30 seconds on a phone call, then please call us. And Tony, what's the number?
It is 1-866-JC-TRUTH, which is 1-866-528-7884.
Perfect. And leave your questions, guys. We would love to use any of you guys' questions. If you come up with some great ones, we'd love to use them live on air tomorrow night. We are so excited for the launch party and to have you guys, no matter where you are. We've had people from the UK. I think it'll be about 2 a.m. So
about 1 a.m.
1 a.m. If you work nights, you know, that'd be great. But anyways, we're really excited to get involved in this and not only just have a launch party, but the thing we're launching. Like, we're launching the Good Fight Radio Network, something we've been working on is it 2 years or a year and a half? Or
Just over a year.
Just over a year. We've been working on it steadfast, and so I believe the Lord's done a really cool thing, and I think it's even cooler than I thought it was. I mean, really, from when we came up with the idea, or Doug, you know, put it up towards us, I was like, wow, this sounds really cool. But then the other day when I was needing to put together clips of 10 of the different teachers on the on the radio network, I was like, okay, yeah, this is going to be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Amen. So, be hard-pressed to find a better station. I'm a little biased, but hey, doctrinally as pure as we can get it so far, huh?
Amen. And, you know, it's funny because with Tony and I, we've thrown concerts together, and we always talk about, you know, when it comes to us throwing concerts, you know, sometimes you get artists, you know, and always Christian artists, of course, but sometimes you get artists and you're like, hey, you know, this one's going to be really cool because I really like listening to these guys. And then some of them, you're like, not really into their music, but I think they'll do a good job with the gospel. And this one with our radio network, I'm excited because this is like, we get to have all
pure,
our cherries.
Man.
Yeah.
Well,
so
we're not a good music, but, too. You know, we have a lot of good
far
worship.
As you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Music as well.
Yeah, you might hear Tony's voice not only on the Good Fight Radio Show, but also
hearing
some of his music.
That's
so
right.
So that'll be good. And we have Lead Me to the Rock on there as well, which is an album that Joe helped produce and even wrote some
Doug
songs
Stapleton.
On there with Doug Stapleton.
Don't worry, I don't sing, folks, so it still sounds really good.
Praise the Lord. So I know that's a long introduction, but we're right next to the launch, so we are going to push that guy on you guys, and please share those things. The things we're telling you guys, if you see, you know, that we're going to have a launch party, if you see the little thing, share somebody. Hey, tonight's the night. We're going to have a launch party. And also, guys, share it. Tell people about the Good Fight Radio Network. You know, tell people
where
you're hearing
excited.
Some good stuff. So we've even had a couple people mention that they're going to try to rent out some AM station in their area to try to get it.
That's awesome. We know a lot of people are going to be strengthening their walks for sure. So a lot of glorious teaching on there. But also we're hoping a lot of people tune in because we have advertisements in the streets and just tune in, truck drivers, whoever passes the sign. And we're expecting to get people that write in and say, or call in or whatever and say they got saved through it, because there's going to be a lot of Jesus in there.
Amen. Amen. So with all of that, we are going to talk about a topic concerning some Q&A a little bit, not Q&A, but more when people come up after we have explained where we stand biblically concerning the issues of eschatology, end times theology, the rapture, whether it exists, okay, and not only whether it exists, but when is it going to happen? And so we've gone over that for a number of episodes, and then we had people writing into us, hey, these are some disagreements I have with you. And I would say that this one is one of the most common.
By far, yeah.
I would say more than a scripture reference, it is usually used more as a maxim. Okay, and it's usually used, I mean, it's from scripture and it's true, but just not in the way it's being used. And that's what we're going to go over. Okay, and I think maybe when you hear it on the surface, it can be somewhat confusing. I think maybe if you would hear it on the surface, you're like, well, and you have to take some time explaining. But I think we're going to thoroughly debunk this one.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that
Lord,
is.
Lord, give us the time.
Amen. And that is the idea that. Because you're pre-trib, you can hold to the view that we are not appointed to wrath and that the tribulation period is God's wrath being poured out. Therefore, if we're not appointed to wrath, we're not appointed to the 70th week of Daniel, we're not appointed to tribulation, therefore a pre-tribulation rapture. And so the verse that they use, and they also use 1 Thessalonians 1, but I will go to 1 Thessalonians 5.
It says the same thing basically, yeah.
Yeah, it says the same thing.
1:9-5:9.
And this one is concerning, and especially the epochs and the times in the very first verse of chapter 5 and what was happening in chapter 4. But it says in verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Joe, God has not destined us for wrath, therefore pre-tribulation rapture. Boom.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I had the, we had a $10,000 offer on the table for many years. If somebody could come up with one verse that taught the pre-tribulation rapture, nobody even tried to use that verse because they know that that verse in itself doesn't say, hey, the rapture is pre-trib. In fact, there's pre-wrath rapturists that believe that we'll go through the tribulation, the entirety of the tribulation, and the wrath is at the end of the tribulation that will be taken right before then. So a lot of people, even pre-wrath people, believe we're not appointed to wrath. And we believe this as post-tribulation as well. We believe that we're going through the tribulation. We just happen to have all the verses. We have all kinds of verses. We've already shared many of them. We have all kinds of verses that talk about how we'll go through the tribulation period. And that's quite clear. They don't have verses, so they have to come up with some kind of argument. So it's like, wait a minute, there's wrath during the tribulation that God pours out. We're not appointed to wrath. And God has to take us out of off the earth at that time. Otherwise, we'll experience wrath, as though God isn't powerful enough to preserve us from wrath and still have us here as a witness, you know? It's kind of weak when you think it through, but it's interesting because when you look at the text, the very verses, I always say the verses that pre-tribs use, when you look at the context, whenever there's a timestamp, it's always post-trib. Even this verse is in post-trib territory because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, he talks about the rapture and how the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And I know we had to announce everything that's coming up, so I'm going to go a little bit fast for you guys.
Yeah, sorry,
but
guys.
I think on podcasts, you can kind of listen twice, so you might want to check it out again.
Amen, amen.
I'll try not to go too fast. But after he talks about being caught up to meet the Lord in the air, the rapture, listen to what he says. Now as the times and epochs, brethren. Times and epochs of what? The rapture. That's what he's been talking about. You have no need that anything be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Isn't that interesting? He's telling us the rapture, the times and the epochs of the rapture now will come like a thief in the night. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24? You know, he said, be ready, for if the master of the house knew when he was coming, you know, he wouldn't allow his house to be broken through, and talked about coming like a thief then as well. But guess what? That's in the context of Matthew 24. When he comes, says right before that, it'll be immediately after the tribulation. It's in a post-trib territory again. Here, guess what we're looking at? We're also looking at the post-trib rapture. For yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night while they are saying peace and safety. That's what they're saying during the tribulation period. Then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. That's judgment. That's the Lord coming in judgment, not a secret pre-trib rapture. What happened? This is the Lord coming in judgment. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day would overtake you like a thief. Check that out, brothers and sisters. The same coming where Jesus comes to destroy the wicked and he comes like a thief. Jesus put that at the end of the tribulation, Matthew chapter 24. Go and read that passage. It's the same day he comes upon the wicked, the same day he comes to us. But they say, no, when he comes on us, it's like a thief and it's a surprise. No, he said really clearly here, but you, brother, not in darkness, that day would overtake you like a thief. It's not a surprise to us because we have the signs because it's post-trib. Mm. Okay? For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep, do the sleeping at night. For those who get drunk, get drunk at night. Don't be doing that, brothers and sisters. But since we're of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Listen to this. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the context there? When he comes back at his second coming to destroy the wicked, he's going to come upon them like a thief. Bam! They're not ready. They can't escape judgment. But it's that same day. That's not pre-trib. That's at the end of the tribulation. That's the second coming to destroy the wicked. We're not appointed to that wrath, are we? Because it's speaking of his wrath at his second coming. So the context is that we're not going to experience his wrath at the second coming of Christ. By the way, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, to the very next book, he talks about the same thing. Talks about when he comes, he's going to give the church relief, which happens to be on the same day, not 7 years later, that he comes to destroy the wicked. But he comes to destroy the wicked with his wrath, but we get relief from the persecution that we're getting. Because guess what? The same book that says we're not appointed to wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, also says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, a couple chapters earlier, that we are appointed to, it says, tribulation. Yeah. So we are appointed to tribulation. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus told his elect apostles, the leaders of the early church, that you will be handed over to tribulation, you'll be killed. So we do get persecution from man. That's not the same as the wrath of God. We're not appointed God's punishment, but we are appointed like all the apostles almost. We're killed by unbelievers, okay? Satan attacks us. God brings his wrath on the wicked. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 1, 5 through 11. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. That's his wrath that's coming upon them. And to give you relief, give us relief, to you who are afflicted, that's by the unbelievers, persecution, and us as well, that he says when. And us as well when the Lord Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, we will be raptured. We will get relief from our persecution. Listen to what he says when. He says when the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven. Does he say 7 years before he comes back in his second coming? No. He says when he's revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. That's wrath, folks. Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day. It's the same day, folks. And to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. So brothers and sisters, clear as day right there. The same day he comes to bring judgment on the wicked with his mighty angels of flaming fire, it's the same day he comes to give the church relief. We don't get the wrath. He comes with his holy angels and flaming fire to destroy the wicked, but we get relief on that day and we're not appointed to wrath. Listen to Luke chapter 17, verses 28 through 37. Jesus says it was the same that's happened as the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planning, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, catch that, on which day? On the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. The same day, not 7 years later, the same day Lot was taken out of Sodom. And by the way, who went and rescued him out of Sodom? Angels, yep. A couple angels.
That's true.
Took him out of Sodom. Remember? It was pretty much like raptured out, but by way of land. You know, by angels. It's a great picture of the rapture. And on the same day, it was the same day, not 7 years earlier, that he was taken out, that Sodom was destroyed. He didn't experience that wrath. Listen to what Jesus says in the very next verse. Very, very important. Very, very key. It will be just the same. Just the same. Because Jesus makes it a picture of the rapture. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, and the other will be left. See, Lot was taken out of Sodom, and there were those that were left behind. But guess what? It wasn't left behind for 7 years. It was on the same day. And Jesus says it's going to be on the same way when he comes. It's going to be on the same day that the destruction takes place of the wicked. It's at the end of the tribulation, at the second coming. I tell you, on that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken, and the other will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, and the other will be left. And answering, they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And listen to this. He said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered." That's how he described Armageddon, brothers and sisters, in Revelation 19, when Jesus comes back with his bride, right? He comes back not with his bride, I'm sorry, for his bride. Actually, some of the church will be with him. All the believers who've been dying for the last 2,000 years will come with him when he comes in glory. But guess who's going to be waiting for him at the end of the tribulation, okay? The church. In fact, in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9, we read some very, very interesting verses. And I think we do well to pay attention to them, because in Revelation 19, we see in verse 7, it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him." This is after the tribulation, guys. This is like just before the tribulation ends. Babylon's destroyed in chapter 18. "Come out of her, my people, so you don't partake of her sins and her plagues." The seven seals have been opened. The seven trumpets have been blown. The seven vials have been poured out. Babylon's been destroyed under the seventh vial, which happens in concert with Christ's second coming. And guess what's happened on earth? Verse 7 through 11. "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him." This is after Babylon's going up in smoke. "The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." Guess what? She didn't get ready in heaven, guys. She's like, "Oh, let's change clothes and let's..." No. She's been made ready on earth, okay? So the bride has made herself ready. "It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." She's been made ready because of her righteous acts in witnessing and serving the Lord. Revelation 22:7. "The Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "and the bride," that's the church, "say come." Let him hear that. Him hears that says, "Say come." "And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely or without cost." Isn't it interesting? In Revelation 19, some say, "Well, where's the church in the book of Revelation?"
I was right just going to ask you that.
What's that?
I was just going to say,
hey,
that.
We're going to be doing a whole episode on that.
Yeah, we'll see it everywhere. But Tony, why are we going to ask that question? Do you see it here?
I see saints all over the place.
But do you see it right in this text?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the bride.
Yeah, the bride.
The bride is made ready through, you know, the scriptures talk about God uses tribulation to perfect us, right? To make us more like him, you know? The Bible says to rejoice when we go through trials, James 1. For Romans chapter 5, it talks about how God uses trials to make proven character. Man, we have forgiveness of sins, but guess what? The character of so many millions of people that claim to be Christians needs to be changed. You know, we need to become Christ-like, and there's nothing like tribulation to make us seek the Lord and become like him and separate the chaff from the wheat. And it's interesting. It says it was given to her, that's the bride, to give her fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. Okay? By the way, the saints are mentioned over and over again through Revelation, right? Tony's smiling, shaking his head, because saints are mentioned over again. When we find out who the saints are, it's the bride. The church has been there the whole time.
My Bible at home, all through the New Testament, I underline wherever I see saints.
Praise God.
It's always the church. So when I'm in Revelation, I see all the saints after where most people that are pre-trib say. There's no church after Revelation, you know, 3, I think it is.
That's what they like to try to say, right?
They like to try to say that.
But yeah, we'll have at least one episode.
Yeah, we have to do an episode
it's so
on
clear,
that.
Yeah, you know?
So don't bury that lead, Tony.
Yeah, I'm burying a lot of leads today.
Yeah. "Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Right? "And he said to me, these are the true words of God. I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do that, for I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And then we see, guess what? Just after the bride's made herself ready, just like we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5, right? He comes back like a thief to those who aren't ready, but on the same day, we're not in darkness, but he's coming back in judgment on the wicked on the same day, right? We saw in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he comes with his mighty angels and flaming fire to take vengeance on the wicked. Amen? And what happens? That's on the same day it says he comes to give the church relief be glorified in his saints. They are not subjected to his wrath, obviously. And here, the bride isn't beat up by his wrath, you know?
Oh, I hate that saying.
Pre-tribbers will say, oh yeah, is God going to beat up his bride with his wrath and so forth?
It's such a
lie. And it's a lie. Read the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Read the letters. He doesn't beat up his bride, you know? In fact, it's interesting, right after the bride has been made ready, right? Verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war. Now, guess what, brothers and sisters? We see the same thing in Matthew chapter 24. He talks to his apostles about how they're going to face tribulation. Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Read Mark 13. You'll see it even mentions them by name. These become leaders of the early church, right? He's actually talked to them before Matthew 24 about how to operate in the church as leaders. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, he talks about, you know, if a brother sins, go to him privately, right? And convict him of his fault. The Greek word there, convict, is, usually it's not translated convict. I don't think it ever is translated convict. Looked at so many, probably looked at 20 translations of it. But it's the same Greek word that is used of the Holy Spirit convicting the world of sin in chapter 16. It says, and sometimes it says, I think it says, tell him of a sin in the ESV or show him a sin, I think in the ESV, just going from memory here. But those are weak, you know, because the actual word means to convict. And he says, when you convict him of a sin, you know, if he turns, you can win your brother. But if he continues, you know, and he refuses to repent, bring one or two with you. And then if he still refuses to repent, he says to bring it before who? The church.
Yeah.
That's in Matthew chapter 18.
Yeah.
In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I'll build my church, the gates hell will not prevail against it. So you think in Matthew 24, when he's talking to them about what they're going to be going through, they're not thinking of themselves as in the future as the church? Of course they are. And he says in Matthew 24 to Peter, James, John, and Andrew, he doesn't say, hey, there's going to be a pre-trib rapture. Don't be concerned about anything. I'm telling you, it's not really for you. It's for people thousands of years from now that won't be the church because the church will be raptured first and so forth. No, he says, you know, watch, see to it that you're not deceived, for many will be deceived. He says you'll be handed over to tribulation, and they'll kill you, put you to death. He says, and many will fall away at that time. He talks about how he that endures the end will be saved. Then in verse 14, he says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the worlds and witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. You have the preacher of the gospel. Of course they know that they're going to be on church ground during the tribulation period. Then he says, when you see you, plural pronoun, Peter, James, John, Andrew, other disciples, other believers. And by the way, just before that, he also says a few years before that, you'll be hated by all nations because of my what?
My name.
They're obviously not thinking it pertains to unbelieving Jews. It refers to believers. And then he says, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, right? And so forth. Because guess what? They will see the Antichrist, the church, whoever is there that's part of the church at the time. That's why Paul said, concerning Christ's coming, are being gathered together to him. You know, that's the rapture, concerning Christ coming, are being gathered together to him. He says, don't let anyone deceive you by any means, by word or by spirit, a pneuma, a demon spirit, or a letter as from us, a counterfeit letter, or a letter that Paul, somebody might take and say, oh, Paul's teaching a pre-trib rapture. Paul says, concerning Christ coming, are being gathered together to him. Don't let anybody deceive you by any of those means, for that day, he says, will not come. Christ come to gather together, unless what happens first, guys? What did he say? What two things will happen first before the rapture?
Falling away,
the Antichrist
is revealed.
The falling away and the Antichrist will be revealed. Absolutely. And then he says, the lost one will be revealed, right? And then he says, the Lord will come and destroy him with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. By the way, that's the same exact order Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 24 to his apostles. There would be a falling away, then the Antichrist will be revealed. But guess what we see happens at the end of the tribulation there in Matthew 24. We know it's, you guys all know the verses, immediately after the tribulation, he gathers his elect, right?
Four winds, yeah.
From the four winds, right? And in Mark, this is key, from the farthest ends of the earth and from the farthest ends of heaven. Now the farthest ends of the earth, whoa, wait a minute. How is there anybody left? Think all the Christians get destroyed in his wrath? No, he never tells them to be worried about his wrath. He never says, you know what? That's too bad because I have a special elect group that's going to be taken before the tribulation period, and you guys are toast because if the Antichrist don't get you, I will. That's not what he says. Yeah. There's no idea in Matthew chapter 24. And you know what? I'm chomping at the bit, but I'm looking at our timeline because we really, really wanted to emphasize you guys checking out our 24/7 Good Fight Radio network and trying to be part of the launch. So we had to spend a little bit of time up front. But I'm chomping at the bit to get to the book of Revelation. to show you just how he protects his people.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm excited about that. And show you that Tim LaHaye, by the way, let me just say this, because I know we just got a couple minutes left. Guess what? In Matthew 24, there's his elect, right? Those days are cut short. Otherwise, for the elect's sake, it says, so no flesh would be, otherwise no flesh would be saved. In other words, the warfare that's going to be going on at that time, everybody would be killed by persecution or by God's wrath, but not the believers by God's wrath. You never see believers undergoing God's wrath during the tribulation period in Matthew 24, Mark 13, or Luke chapter 21. Guess what? The book of Revelation, it's the same. But by the way, guess what? These pre-tribbers, when they make movies, like the whole Left Behind series, and they write books, guess what Tim LaHaye doesn't portray in his books and what hasn't portrayed in Left Behind movies? Guess what you never see? Believers suffering the wrath of God. They know deep down, brothers and sisters, they know that believers, God will not subject believers to wrath. They know, since we're not, and guess what? We're not appointed God's wrath, amen? We're not appointed God's wrath. That's a beautiful reality. So if we go through the tribulation, we're not appointed to God's wrath. In fact, we see, and I don't want to get ahead of myself now, so I want to do one more episode on this. We see very, very clearly in the book of Revelation that the wrath of God that's poured out is selective. It's selective. For instance, I'll give you one example. Those who take the mark of the beast, you know? It talks about how a grievous sore appears on the hands of those who took the mark of the beast. But it doesn't appear on the believers. And we see not only are the elect preserved to the end, who survive that time and they don't partake of God's wrath, but we also see that we ever saw in Revelation, the bride of Christ, she's there at the end. And guess what? She's not all bludgeoned and beat up by the wrath of God. That's a pathetic lie, okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, most pre-trib teachers know that. And this is what breaks my heart.
They still pander it.
I know. That's what breaks my heart. They know it's a lie. They know that people don't have to, if you're a believer, that God's not going to have a scorpion sting you during the tribulation period. But guess what? They'll try to preach it to bring you to the pre-trib side, and that's dishonest.
I've seen it on slides at their presentations.
Oh, yeah.
The beat-up bride.
Oh, yeah. There was a presentation by Dan Markell. And she had, I think, her prophecy conference. And a guy shows a picture of Farrah Fawcett all beat up in a movie she played in where she was the battered wife.
Yeah, she was married to a Muslim guy, right? I think it was.
I didn't see the movie, but she was all... And he goes, God's not going to pour out his wrath like, you know, on his bride, like, you know, happened to this woman. This isn't what his bride's going to look like at the end, where he's going to pour. It's like, well, yeah, of course not. Everybody starts clapping, you know. I'm like, you know what? Post-trib doesn't believe that.
No.
Pre-wrath doesn't believe that. And guess what? Pre-tribbers don't believe that deep down either. They know, just read a Tim LaHaye, don't read it, but just take, I'll let you know. Just if you watch a pre-trib movie, you never see the believers suffering the wrath of God, because they know that's not how it works.
Yeah, and
so quit using that as a lie to scare people to believe in something that's not true, a pre-trib rapture, which doesn't have one shred of evidence in all the Bible.
And I think one of the big problems too is that they would still, even as a pre-trib believer, have to deal with God's wrath on the tribulation saints. So then you have to go with another gospel, because they're saved differently.
Yeah, you know? Amen. And the tribulation saints are saved, and we call them tribulation saints because it's colloquial language.
I mean, it is the everlasting gospel, so why would it be different?
Amen. It's the everlasting gospel. It's preached, Revelation 14, and they're cleansed by the blood of Christ, Revelation 7, 9 through 14, I'm positive, there. And they're saved the same way we are. And by the way, that is us. It's the church going into the tribulation period, you know?
Just saying, but they have to deal with it in the same, they have the same
they're
problem.
Not appointed wrath. They're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And I can't, we're kind of getting a little ahead, you know, Chad, you're burying my lead now, but this is good though. That's good though, because we want the truth to get out. So guess what? We have a bunch of really, really cool part two set up for next week, which
that's
is really
true.
Great, because we'll be in Texas. And, when those are airing, I think. So,
yes, you're right.
That's going to be awesome, and they'll be ready to go, because I'm chomping a bit for all of these things. I can't wait to talk about the Holy Spirit again. I can't wait to talk about this subject again, and you know, some of the other things we just talked about. It's exciting.
Praise the Lord.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.